Yeah, we're ready to go. Good morning.
Morning.
I'm David Mason. My favorite thing to say is I'm a born-again hippie from Boulder, Colorado. I am married 40 years this year. Same woman. Those don't always go together. And I have 5 children. 3 birth, 2 chosen.
Amen.
I've been in the ministry, I'm a pastor, and I've been pastor of the same church for 24 years in St. Joseph, Missouri. So I am a diehard Denver Broncos fan living in Chiefs training camp. So I've always wanted to go over and see if I could help our team out. One time I was jogging by and all their shoes were laying outside. But I didn't fall for the temptation. So my presentation is really with one main point, and that is to use value-based RW360 in the marketplace and to witness and to evangelize and to reach your community. And I've done quite a bit of that. And so as we're taking a look at this, I'm not a detail person. I'm a doer. I get things done. I don't always know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. So as we go along, I'm going to share with you some of my thoughts and some of my experiences in hopes that they will help you to begin your own journey in using SOV, not SOG, SOV, as a way to reach your community, as a way to reach people that are not in the church. And so RW started for me when I called Ken Sandy and asked him, why did you leave Peacemakers? It seemed like a good question to me. Somebody started something, then they left it. Is there some peacemaking problems going on? You know, I mean, anyway, Ken answered my phone and talked to me, and he told me about RW. And it really intrigued me. And so I came up here to Billings, which was the last time I was here. Ken, do you know when the training was? I can't remember.
2012.
So I came to Billings, Montana, which I'm a Westerner, born and raised in Denver, graduated from Boulder High School. And so I came to Billings and had a wonderful, wonderful time. When I left, I was so excited, and I really loved what I had learned. And I got stuck in the Denver DIA, you know, which for a Coloradoan, we're not exactly thrilled about that place. But anyway, I got stuck in DIA because there was delays. And so you know how when everything comes to a halt, everybody's all sitting around, you know, and there's no place to be, and there's no place to plug in, and all that kind of stuff. And you end up having to interact with people. And I remember sitting with 7 hard-working men and helping them through relational wisdom. Now, of course, in that setting, I didn't have to keep it on values. I could talk about God with them. And I ultimately led them to other awareness and got them all to write a note to their wives and tell them how much they loved them. So I was so excited about it, and I called Ken and I said, Ken, I just RW'd my way all the way through the airport and had a great time with folks. And so I want to kind of help us to understand, just, you know, my dad is not a Christian, was not a Christian. He was a businessman in Boulder. But there was a gentleman named Joe Kennard. And Joe was a vice president of Midland Federal Savings in Broomfield, Colorado. He lived in Boulder. And he did business with my father. And Joe did not just talk to my dad about repossessed mobile homes that need to be reconditioned so that they could be sold so they could recoup the loss on the repossessions. He talked to my dad about Christ. And so my dad started going to church, which I wanted nothing to do with because I was an atheist, evolutionist, partier, whatever. You know, I'm just a free-loving hippie in Boulder. So bottom line is that Joe used the marketplace as an opportunity to share Christ. Now, my dad did not find Christ. The boy did I. I got saved in 1977 in Boulder, Colorado, in a Southern Baptist church with a born-again Jew for a pastor. Yeah, I know. This just defies everything. So the bottom line for you and I is that we should do whatever we can to win people to Jesus Christ, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And so here in 1 Corinthians, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." So when I saw RW, and I saw the potential to be able to touch the lives of people, I waited around for a long time. I kept pushing Ken. I said, "When are you guys going to make that value circle?" Because I wanted to use the RW value presentation to be able to get into the community and to be able to share and use it in my town, in my area, in any way I could possibly, you know, find. And so another way of actually looking at this for me is the Samaritan woman. I just think that's one of the most amazing moments. Jesus is talking to her about water, but he's not talking about water. And he leads her to the living water. And so that's what I've experienced, and that's what I've enjoyed, is actually taking the RW360 to the community, to places where the church doesn't necessarily go. And that's been an absolute surprise and pleasure in how successful that's been. Now, I want to say one thing up front. I don't care about making money. So I know that some of you, you know, you have to make a living at some of the things that you do. So for me, I'm pro bono always. Now, in some of the settings that I went into, they would make me accept payment, which boggled my mind, but they didn't feel like it was real if they weren't paying. So I would take their money and let them know up front, "I just want you to know that this is going to go to Ken Sandy and RW360 Ministries." And that's what I did. It wasn't a lot, right, Ken? Not a ton of money, but it was something, you know. And so I began to go out and try and find opportunities where I could actually go and share Christ. Now, I don't know how many of you are actually taking the values training? Okay. Yeah, so just a few. And so, you know, not everybody is really thinking about the values training, but I present it pretty much like the God training, the SOG, but I don't ever get to mention God, right? I don't get to use Scripture. I have to try and present this without necessarily bringing across Christianity overtly. And so that was a little bit of a challenge, but I really emphasize and work off the basis of their felt needs. So when I try to make a relationship with an organization, I talk to the head of personnel or whoever it is that I'm going to be working with and talk to them about the values that this is actually going to bring about in their organization and help them to understand how it's going to benefit them. You know, you're going to get high quality training and understanding, and it's going to benefit your people, and it's not going to cost you anything. Or, you know, if you need to pay me, I suppose you can. So I talked to them about the benefit to their organization, the benefit to their team, the benefit to their company. Because I live in St. Joe, it's about 85,000 people, and St. Joe, you know, I've been there 24 years, so I'm sort of known, you know, one way or the other. So there is some part that I get by doing something, just my doing it lends a connection to the church. And so that's underlying, you know, from the beginning. But I try to talk to them just like we do actually in the RW training. Ken showed you the awareness test last night. How many of you, that was the first time you ever saw it? Okay, all right, that's what I thought. Well, let's try another one.
Clearly, somebody in this room murdered Lord Spy, who, at precisely 3:34 this afternoon, was brutally bludgeoned to death with a blunt instrument. I want each of you to tell me your whereabouts at precisely the time that this dastardly deed took place.
I was polishing the brass in the master bedroom.
I was buttering his lordship's scones below stairs, sir.
But I was wanting my petunias in the potting shed.
Constable, arrest! Lady Smythe!
But how did you know?
Madam, as any horticulturist will tell you, one does not plant petunias until May is out. Take her away. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of observation.
The real question is, how observant were you?
Clearly, somebody in this room murdered Lord Smythe, who, at precisely 3:34 this afternoon, was brutally bludgeoned to death with a blunt instrument. I want each of you to tell me your whereabouts at precisely the time that this dastardly deed took place.
I was polishing the brass in the master bedroom.
I was buttering his lordship's scones below stairs.
But I was wanting my juniors in the potting shed.
Constable, arrest! Lady Smythe!
How many of you saw that for the first time today? Okay, great. All right. Well, Ken, that's the first time you saw it? Yeah, okay, good. All right. Anyway, so now I want to warn you right now, okay, for those of you that have some serious control issues, all right, you're going to be a little challenged, okay? All right, you're warned. So I want to do an exercise. I'm going to do it different than I would do it actually when I'm presenting the soft, but I'm still, you know, I want to make a point. So here's what I want you to do. Take your hands, put them like this, okay? Sorry, not over your head, but yeah, I just want you to see it. So you see your hands, right? Okay. I want you to look at your thumb, your top thumb, and I want you to see if it's right or left. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Look at your thumbs and see. Is it right or left? I want left over here, right over here. Please get up and go to the wall. So we have lefties and righties, okay? I do this in my presentation. I don't make a move unless I really really feel that I can. But how many of you have ever knew which thumb was top? Anybody? Okay. A few. Now, here's what I want you to do while you're over there. Here's your natural. Switch it completely. How's that feel? Weird. All right, now be seated. So in my presentation, by the way, left thumb top, right thumb top doesn't mean squat. Okay? Doesn't mean squat. It's not left brain, right brain. It's typically a habit. It's a habit you developed early on, and you stick with it almost your whole life. Now, what I do try to help people to understand is that I just showed them something. So I'll take the oldest person in the room, and I'll say, sir, ma'am, how long have you had those fingers? And they'll tell me, and I say, did you ever know that your thumb left or your thumb right was on top? And they'll say, no, never. And so I help them to understand, I'm going to show you something that you don't know about yourself that will help you. It will help this business, this organization, this group, this, you know, whatever I'm working with. It will help you to know this. But I will tell you, if you're left thumb top, going right thumb top is going to be a little bit of an uncomfortable experience. But you can do it. And if it makes you have a better life, then I think you can put up with the discomfort. And so I try to illustrate and get them to understand. Then I also talk about, of course, the soft skills and hard skills and what a benefit they actually make. And I remember one organization that I was in, they were divided up into units and groups. And one of the units came up, and they were laughing, having a good time, and they said, we just realized that our commander is the smartest guy in the group, but actually he is not the most relationally wise in the group. And they were laughing and having a good time about it. That was something they discovered on their own. And they were happy about it, the commander was happy about it, and so on and so forth. And so I find this very, very helpful to let people understand, you know, that being smart is very good and very nice and very and beneficial, but... And then I bring the illustrations of Steve Jobs and Intel and whatever else that we can bring to help them understand that relational wisdom makes everyone exponentially more beneficial. And so I try to communicate that. Now, I also bring a brain and I pass that around. I got this from a broke medical student in Southern California. So I just pass it around and I let people handle it and touch it, feel it. That is a proportionately and weight sized human brain. And so I let people have it and help them to understand this process. And I'm not going to go through this because most of you have been trained. My job here today is not actually to teach you how to teach the principles, but to understand how I do it in a different setting. And so I talk about the brain, and this is my personal thing, sort of. When I found out that my heart was not in my chest, but it's in my head, changed everything. It changed everything. And when I get this across with people, you can really see them entering in and buying in. And helping them understand. So then we talk about, you know, the triggers, the things that bring us down into relational failure. And so one of the other things I do, so I won't make you move, okay? But this is a skunk, right? Okay. Now, what does a skunk do?
Sprays his smell.
Yeah, sprays his smell. When does he spray his smell? When he's scared. All right. Now, can I have a hand show for how many skunks I have here today? How many of you, when you get upset, you spray? Come on, disclosure. All right, I told you if you're in control, you know, it's not going to work out. So, we got skunks, and then we also have what?
Turtles.
What does a turtle do? goes into its shell, hides, goes away. Now notice this. When we get triggered into relational failure, we'll go the skunk route, we'll go the turtle route, but it all ends up in the same place, doesn't it? Who's with the skunk? Okay, now, I mean after he sprays or she sprays. Nobody. Who's with the turtle when he goes in or she goes into her shell? Nobody. That's called relational failure. You're on your own. Now, there is another one, of course. And my partner in the previous workshop, she's like, what are you doing? So does anybody know who this is? This is Olaf, right. And he's from the movie? Frozen. Right. And Frozen 2. Yes. I can see that you're an enthusiast. So, you know, there's another one that we actually have, and that's freeze. And chemically, it is the most powerful of all of them. And so that is one that some people actually experience. Not turtle, not skunk, but freeze. And they can't do a thing. I experience freeze often when my wife says, we need to talk. I'm frozen. So I use these instruments to be able to get people to see, to get them to actually experience, and to understand how important relational wisdom is and how often our natural inclinations do not actually help us. And of course, I've got personal stories that I share. So let me just put one personal story out there. At one time in my life, the only thing I knew to do was to get angry. That's all I knew. We were a homeschool family. And again, I have three birthed and two chosen. Every Friday, we did trip day. And we'd all go out and get in the van and go to some special place. And on this one particular Friday, I got out of the van, and the trigger for me was the condition of the van. Okay? Now, guess who drives the van? My wife. Okay? I drive a truck, and guess who's in my truck?
Just
me. Okay? So my truck stays the same all the time. It is perfect. So, you know, I get out there, and I get triggered. And I go skunk. And that day, I made my wife and my kids cry. I was like, now the only thing I know is to be what? Skunky. But I know that this is my fault. But there's a van here that's not meeting my idol. Amen? And so long story short is that I began to actually deal with my triggers. But when I came into actual relational wisdom 360, and I learned to match what I know about God with what I do about God, what I know about myself and what do I do about myself, and what I know about others and what do I do about others, and in the setting of presenting in the community, I present this as a value. I value my family, but am I enacting that value? Am I engaged in that value? And then often I will bring in the values of the corporation or the company or the organization that I'm working with so that I can ask them, what values does this company have? What values are you guided by? And are they engaged? You know, do you know yourself? Are you engaged in yourself? And so I help people to kind of come through that. And I use the skunk and the turtle and Olaf here. Now I also use, this is sadness. Anybody know who this is? Disgusted. Disgusted. I'm not going to make you go to corners and identify yourselves. This is
joy.
One of my favorite experiences, I was in a big old corporate setting, and everybody grabbed this and threw it to one of the members and said, "You get this one." Now, they didn't grab some of the other ones, but it was just fun how they actually identified themselves. This is anger, and this is, what's missing? Fear. And so I use these and help people to understand where our triggers take us, and I can introduce the puppeting and all that. I'm not presenting the presentation here today. I'm just helping you understand how I do it in a community, unbelieving, corporate setting.
Wait, did he just say he
couldn't? That's anger. He cares very deeply about things being fixed.
So that's how you want to fight it, old man? No dessert? Oh, sure. We'll eat our dinner right after you eat this.
And so I help people, you know, and personally identify and to come to terms with themselves. I also use another thing that I don't know if it's actually even available anymore, so these are really old candy bars. But I get candy bars and talk about, you know, okay, so I get triggered and I'm feisty. So what is actually Snickers done? They've tied a feeling to their product. That I'm going to solve this feeling by eating this candy bar. You've never seen them? Well, there you go. So, I try to get people to really identify, to really understand. There's nothing wrong with a candy bar. But if you solve all your feelings with a candy bar, you're going to have problems. And so, I help them to understand that and to be able to be a part of that. And then we do the identity, you know, of the skunk and the turtle and the frozen. And then I take them to the circle and begin to really take them inside and to help them understand outside is not good. Inside is where we want to go. I'll explain where you get your values to some degree. And then I take them through basically the GPS. And helping them to begin to really think about the solve. Now, at this point, depending on what permission I'm given, sometimes I can actually bring faith into the setting. It depends on the manager, the supervisor, whoever it is, you know, it's their job, so, you know. And so I might bring something in if they let me. But if not, I just stay with values. And one of the things I like to really emphasize, where do you get them? Where do you get them? I remember one time I had a professor at a university. Somehow or another, I got in his string of a conversation. He wanted to get rid of the Constitution. And I didn't even know this guy. But he was the vice president of the university. And so he included me. So I thought, well, let's just talk. So I sent him a question. I said, do you have any idea what you're going to replace it with? Now, I knew he was not going to answer me because he wasn't actually looking for a conversation. And so I said, well, let me just suppose that you'll probably come up with it. And here's my problem. On Monday morning, you wake up mad. And so the whole country has to deal with things that come from a madman. You know, I said, this is arbitrary. I know you want to get rid of something, but do you have any idea what you're going to put in place of it? And so, you know, you try to help people to understand their values, Are they engaged in their values? Do they think about their values? And so on and so forth. And when I do it in the military, it really becomes a meaningful exercise and so on, because their stuff is very clearly defined. I love Reed to actually recognize your emotions, acknowledge, you know, where they're coming from, and you know, how you're going to deal with this, evaluate their source, and then to actually direct them instead of actually indulging them. And I take them through the read, and I take them through serve. That's one of my favorites. And I love the smile. Okay, everybody take a look at me. See, that's a cheesy smile. And yet, what does it do to you? Makes you smile. And when you smile, what happens? It makes you feel better, and it makes other people smile. And that actually is a drug that you're producing. So if any of you wanted to be an undercover drug agent, a drug dealer, you can do it by smiling. You just give people drugs. You know? And so I help people to understand how we actually present our bodies and explore and empathize and reconcile. I mean, I'm not going into these. I brought this because I wanted to point out that I have to be really careful. It did not occur to me that I was putting anything religious out. When I went to the reconciling part of the serve, I forgot. Does anybody see anything wrong with this if I'm in a secular setting? There's a cross and hands. Yeah, I did that at a school district meeting, and it brought some... I apologize. I was sorry. And I noticed that, of course, now we don't have that in there and so on. But the reality is that you really do have to think about it. You have to actually consider what you're doing. And another thing I try, you know, when we actually try to get other aware and other engaged, I like to use this. Times, and every time I don't get it. Just get the stupid nail out of your head. But I have learned and I have grown, and I recognize the feelings of others and other aware and other engaged, and that's why I try to help them. Now here's another one, and I only picked it because of the setting. I wouldn't necessarily use it, you know. I have to be careful what I use and where I go and what it'll say. You got to really remember, anybody who's in here before, got to ask the right question. And so I'm very careful about the things that I use, but I figured we could get along with this one.
All right,
here we go. There it is. Okay.
Oh.
Yep.
A vacuum cleaner?
Dual bag. This is the best vacuum cleaner you'll ever have. Not a big fan of that look, I got you.
any of my other wives and girlfriends. Full.
Yeah, but I don't deserve to be here. I didn't do anything.
Every man in the doghouse thinks it's innocent. Isn't that right, boys?
Look, all I know is that I got my wife this really nice gift, and then now here.
What'd you get her?
That's a brand new dual bag vacuum cleaner, actually.
Yeah, that boy's gonna get our vacuum cleaner.
So I take the time to discuss differences and how differences are really actually the reason for relationship in the first place. As a matter of fact, the only thing that proves that you actually exist is the difference that you have. The only way I know you are you is because you are not her. And so difference is the actual reason for our relationships, and it is the actual base of our existence. Now that might have got a little too metaphorical on you, but the reality is difference is why we're together. And then understanding, to actually engage that, to understand it, to engage it. And so I take people through that process and I walk them through the circle and help them to understand. Now, my point here today is actually not to teach you solve, but actually to inspire you to use it in ways that you might not be aware, in ways that are going to advance the kingdom of Christ. They're going to let people know about Jesus. You're going to be a vice president of Midland Federal Savings inviting a mobile home sales and service company guy to church. You see? So these are some of the places I've been. I've worked with American Family. I've worked with the St. Joseph School District. I've worked with small business and entrepreneurial businesses and so on. One of the things that I do is that I target places that cannot afford good training. So one of my favorite places is convalescent centers. I can't imagine that job. Lowest pay, hard work, you know, very little appreciation. And so I talk to the owners, I talk to the managers and so on, and I explain to them what I can do for them and so on. And they almost always let me come in and present. So now, a lot of times when I go into a convalescent center and, you know, I'm talking to the owner, I get to present faith. I get to present SOG, not SOB. So those are areas that you might think about. You might think about areas of your community where people need to understand and to be helped to have a better life by doing RW360. So now American Family was one of the big corporate ones, and they really vetted me. I have no idea probably what their vetting process is like now, because I had to answer all these questions. You know, I felt like I was in seminary again. And, you know, I had no idea if they're going to let me in there or not, but they did. Another thing that you can do is that you can usually get into a place if you've got an inside person that is asking them to bring you. And so we all have friends that work in businesses and places, and you could just say, hey, you know, and everybody has trouble in the workplace. And now that they're all going to come back, it's a perfect time to actually go in there and work with people. But one of my biggest has actually been the 139th Airlift Wing. So St. Joe has the Missouri River, and the Missouri on the other side of the Missouri River is actually Kansas. And so we're right on the border. And we have the C-130s and the airlift wing, Missouri Guard, all right there. And there are, I don't know how many. Joe, do you have any idea how many are out there?
I think almost 1,000.
Yeah, I was thinking 1,000. And so I have developed a very good relationship with this unit. And they brought me in to do SOV. And I came in on a guard weekend. And they brought them in hour by hour, about 150 at a time. And I got to present this to the entire unit. I have been there I don't know how many times now. And I have done other things there, like marriage. But here's one of the things that's actually happened. I began to be a trusted resource to the leadership. Now here's, I'm not a military person, okay? Born again hippie from Boulder, so remember that. So I am called upon to do confidential work for the leadership and for other airmen, because to actually do it in official channels will harm or hinder their career. They can't go to the chaplain. They can't go to their commander. They can't go to the counselor. They can't go to anybody official. Because if they do, it gets put in the file and they may lose their security. Now, I also end up working with them because they have to go through security,
background.
They have to be background checked, and some of them can't make it relationally, financially, emotionally. They've got addictions, you know, so they can't make it, and they know they're going to lose their job because the guard doesn't know it, the unit doesn't know it, but their wife's gone or the husband's gone or whatever, and so they'll bring them to me, and I can walk them through privately, confidentially, and help them and get them to where they can pass their security. And so those are the kind of things that have happened to me. But I want to tell you about probably one of the most interesting experiences I've ever had. So I'm presenting at the Air Wing, and there are 150 servicemen here of all different ranks and so on and so forth. And I'm presenting. I'm over to the side, letting one of my videos play. And I heard something. And I noticed everybody jumped. And I moved over to where there's no window. Because it sounded like gunfire. Boom, boom, real loud. Now, I was looking for clues. And I was like, okay. So, video's over. I come back out to present. Next thing I know, an entire unit gets up and leaves. No explanation. They leave. Well, of course, everybody's noticing that. I'm noticing it. And then the next thing that happens is a commander comes in. Everyone on the ground. And we all get on the ground. And then people with real guns come in and man that door and that door and that door. I'm laying on the ground with a highway patrolman who was also presenting that day. And I'm looking at him and he's looking at me and I'm like, you got a gun, right? Now, I was not triggered. I think mostly because of my faith. Maybe I couldn't believe that something terrible was about to happen or could happen. So we're all down on the ground, seemed like for 7 days. You know how that is. And then the commander comes in and says, is there anyone in this room with a weapon? And of course, my highway patrolman has one. And so he gets up, and I don't know what that was all about. But eventually they came in and said, okay, everybody, it's okay, everybody get up, it's okay. go ahead. And then they said, Pastor, continue the presentation. Okay, so when everybody got up, I was shocked at how many of the servicemen were crying. This was not an exercise. What had actually happened was two electrical units had blown. And so there were, I mean, there was an actual boom, there was actual damage, but everyone was, they were crying. I said, okay, let's take a moment here. I can see that this is very upsetting for you. And a sergeant, I think, I don't know for sure, but anyway, a gentleman that I know of leadership, he said, Pastor, do you mind if I have the microphone? I said, no, please take it, you know. And that's not what I said out loud, but that's what I said in my head. And he got up and he said, hey, everybody, we're okay. Are you okay? And he was talking to him and so on. And we all had a breath. And then I actually did carry on. And the one thing I actually showed him was this. I said, look, I want you to pay attention to your body right now. Is your stomach hurting? Are your fingers numb? Are your ears burning? Is your tongue dry? Is anybody here blind? You know, I want you to know that your body will tell you when you're being triggered. And I helped them and walked them through that. But that was a significant experience. I always tried to get a hold of that, but the fact is I never could get it. I don't know if that was by design or if it just simply faded away. But that was actually recorded. That was actually on video. So I have had lots and lots of experiences in different settings. So like the St. Joe School District. I've presented with them. I've been in small businesses and worked with small businesses and their organization. Heating and cooling, printing, you name it. I've been in convalescent centers. And in all these settings, there's one thing that has absolutely happened. Their hearts have been touched. When I go into convalescent centers and I present, now, you know who most of those people are, right? What gender are most of those people? They're mostly women. And they've never had anybody care about them enough to come in and talk about these kinds of things. And there are tears always, always tears. And we walk through it and have a good time. But I just wanted you to see this. This is Kelly Kunkel, and this is him receiving his promotion. Kelly is now a member of my church, a deacon that serves, and he makes a wonderful difference at our church. He is a core leader at our church, and he comes from the air wing. I've had many of those kinds of things happen. I've had people that I train in those convalescent centers show up at my church. I've had people talk to me afterwards. I've had lots and lots of encounters with people. I have people that see me in the community, and they come up and they say, hey, I remember you. You're that skunky guy. You know? And so we have a real good time. So one of the things that I try to end with, because this is not a, okay, let's have a closing prayer. This is really, you know, a secular setting, and I'm trying to have a stronger relationship, gain influence, and be an encourager. And if I get a chance to tell about Jesus, that'd be great. One of the things I do is that I have a Christian sheet of faith-based RW360. I bring a stack of them. I ask the, you know, whoever's in charge, I say, how many people are going to be there? You know, they tell me. And I bring that many. And it's usually a front and back sheet. I get permission, of course. I don't do it without permission. And I'll say at the end of the presentation, I'll say, by the way, there is a very significant faith approach to these things, if you're interested. I've got that here. I've got copies for everybody if you'd like to come and get one. Guess how many copies I take home with me?
Zero.
Zero. Zero. And so I know that I'm bringing influence. Now, the other thing I try to do, because, you know, presenting is only one part. And so I try to give them something that they can actually benefit from. I also ask if they'll bring me back. And since I'm free, you know, it's a fairly easy decision, because I want them to actually get this book. And I'll try to talk with the supervisor, whoever it is, maybe they can provide it for them and so on. And I love this little book, and the reason I do is because this is how you actually practice your way into relational wisdom. Now, it's not faith-based, of course, but it's going to help you on self-awareness, self-engagement, other awareness, other engagement, and getting your values actually in place. And one of my favorites in here for myself is to actually imagine where I'm going, what people are going to say, what they're going to do, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do, emotional settings before I ever get there. I won't tell you what I imagined here today, but you're doing about what I thought, hopefully. But you know, it helps to actually have things to be able to put yourself into practice. Now, I'm going to give a little testimony tonight, and I'll say something about it, but I appreciate a little more intimate setting. I also let them know about the website, if I can. If I can, I get permission for these. The app, and ask them to actually go take a look if they'd like to train. I tell them all the opportunities that are available to them. But here's one of the things I want to tell you. Relational wisdom has extremely prepared me to help men and women, but I only work with men, in sexual addiction. The overlaps and nuances of Relational Wisdom 360 are endless. You do know that sexual addiction is a poor emotional habit that is chemically based and that can only be relationally and practiced out of. Do you know what I mean by that? Everybody does it on their own. So, you know, are you tired of everybody showing up in the evening news? You know, and they're all by themselves. They can't handle it. So one of the things I did, I was involved in an online sexual addiction ministry for a long time. And I would be given anywhere from 10 to 15 students at a time. And this is one of the things I found out. I found out that everybody's the same. So these students actually were all over the world. The only thing I needed was for them to actually speak English. So I work with Russians, Australians. They're different. I'm just telling you, Australians, they'd show up maybe once a month, you know, you're supposed to be there every day, but anyway. I worked with Canadians, I worked with Brazilians, I worked with, you name it, all over, and all over the United States. And this is what I found out over, you know, a pretty short period of time with several people, and that is this. Do you know when they act out? When they're stressed or tired. What is that? That's an emotional habit that is chemically based, and it's an addiction. And they can't get out by themselves. And so, you know, I cannot emphasize enough how absolutely valuable this stuff is and what a difference it's made in my life. I want to open it up for questions. Any questions? Yeah, Ken.
Yeah, it's not a question, but you left something out of your story about the Air Force Base. When you told that to me a while ago, what was really cool was how quickly he related what they were going through. Because when they came back together, they realized it wasn't a real threat, but everybody was jacked up, adrenaline and everything else. He said, you know, feel your pulse, feel your pulse. Your hearts are beating, your heart's beating. He said, you know, that's your fight flight response. If there's danger, you're designed to do it like that, and that's helpful. But it's a lousy position to be when you're in a fight with your spouse or your teenage son. And just immediately connected that in such a practical way with what was going in our real life thing. So that was one of the things that impressed me so much, how you just spontaneously moved to a practical application to their real life. So
yeah.
I'm sure many people, that's when you grab it.
Yeah, and guaranteed I had their attention. Yeah. Somebody else? Yeah.
I think to preface that also, because several of David's parishioners in our church are military personnel, active and retired, that he realized through conversations that a lot of those individuals were triggered because of their deployment. When you hear those big booms, that usually means you're under attack. You know, incoming, mortar rounds, artillery, or whatever, so that's your natural instinct to react that way. So he knew through his conversations with myself and others in our church, that's how they're going to react and respond.
So, yeah. And I work through the family department at the unit because that's where, you know, a lot of the, as Ken just said, a lot of the unfortunate things take place. Someone else? Anyone else? Okay, so Ken would like for you to go to the website and to give evaluation to each of these sessions. Okay? So if you go to the website and it's under...
Just our RW360, there's a drop-down menu, it says conference to see, present your evaluation right there.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Do you actively market, or do you just do word of mouth and personal?
I have actively marketed to some degree. So for instance, I have a little, you know, brochure that I made. Back in the day, you know, we didn't have the faith stuff yet. It was in development, and so I had to kind of make up stuff for myself. But yeah, I did, and what I did was is that I invited all the parents that came to our Upward ministry to come to a SOV, SOV presentation, and I invited them at that. I can do a mail out, you know, something like that. But, you know, I do anything I can. But again, I'm a pastor of a church, and I've got, you know, a lot of other responsibilities, but you can actually go and do this. And you need to have confidence in the information that you're presenting. And don't be worried about yourself as a presenter. Because I'm telling you right now, you're speaking straight to their heart, and they're going to appreciate it, and it's going to make a difference. And you'll get a chance to have a, you know, a witness that way. But yes, I do actually market when I have the opportunity and the time. Of course, the last 2 years, nothing. You know, I did do actually a Zoom with the unit. So I did 137 servicemen as they were deploying, and I did it on Zoom, which, you know, that's a very different way. Yeah.
And are we talking about coming in for one session or for a number of sessions when you usually do it? How long are you spending?
Whatever they allow me to do, but typically it's, you know, 1 or 2 hours.
In a single session.
In a single session, yeah. But again, it's the organization, it's the business, you know, that I'm working with and what they actually have in mind.
Can I just say one more quick thing there? Part of what David and other people are doing is getting their foot in the door, whether it's a 30-minute or a 3-hour conversation, to stimulate an appetite where people say, wow, I like this. And you can then point them to the website, the online course, and say, there's a complete 8-hour course available here in both a values-based secular or a faith-based, you can choose. So they go to the same place. 60% of Americans identify as Christians, even though probably just a fraction are really born again. But they'll probably choose the faith-based course. But even when the people choose the values-based course, and we've had employers that have agreed to go ahead and pay for that access. They want to see their employees go through it. We can work out discount codes or anything else. But the great thing is, if you go in and train the business with, you know, 60 people, they like it. Employer is going to pay for their access to do the trainees, professional development. They're going to go to that online course, and even if they do the values-based course, there's like 30 links that can slide them over to gospel material. So the presentation often is just to give them, it's like going to Costco and getting a sample, and you then buy the whole package. Mm-hmm. That's what you want.
Now another thing that actually happens, as soon as I'm done with the presentation, what do you think happens? I got people that come up to me personally, and I've counseled many, many people that come up to me personally And they said, could I talk to you for a minute? And I'm like, yeah. And they want to talk about their life. They want to talk about their family. They want to talk about their relationship, something, you know. And then I don't hide who I am, of course. You know, I have a doctorate, so I can come in as Dr. David Mason. I'm a pastor of a church and so on. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Because once you touch their heart, they're going to be wanting more. Yeah. Okay, anything else? Patty? Am I on time? Okay. All right. Perfect. Okay. All right. Let's pray. I hope that was for Patty. Let's pray together. All right. Lord, we give you thanks today for the opportunity to be able to glorify you, to be able to take the gospel to a Matthew, to a Martha, to a Mary, to a Nicodemus, to the weak, to the strong, to the Jew, to the Gentile, to the barbarian. Lord, help us to find and let your Spirit lead us to places where we can share the wonder and the joy of who you are. And Lord, thank you for the handles that Ken and Peacemakers have actually provided RWs so that we can give it to them in a way that they can actually grasp it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Good to see you. Thank you.